few weeks ago, I think I was last here. It was Easter Sunday, wasn't it? Let's turn that on. I have to apologise to Dean again because I tend to move around quite a bit, so we're going to be keeping him busy this evening. Praise the Lord. Everyone enjoy your son?
Yes.
Yeah? I hope I don't preach you to sleep this evening. All right, I know it's warm outside, okay? But let's get into it. I'm going to jump straight into it because I believe that the Lord is going to be speaking to us tonight, challenging us, and ultimately drawing us closer to Him. That's what it's all about, isn't it? So if we could turn to Matthew 25 and verse 1. It's the parable of the ten bridesmaids. Before we get into it, I've named this title this evening, Go and Get Your Own. Let's continue. We'll jump into Matthew to chapter 25 from verse 1. I've done this morning. I've been given glasses this week because I can't read now. So I've got to put them on to read and I keep forgetting.
Oh,
no. I know. Not only that, I'm into cargo trousers now, right?
Well, so am I. What an influence you've been.
Praise the Lord, right? And then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and the other five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. And then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside, calling, "Lord, Lord, open a door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." What a last couple of verses. Doesn't that just wake you up a little bit? I know I was going to preach you to sleep this evening, but doesn't that just wake you up a bit? Huh? Yeah. But he called back. This is Jesus speaking. "Believe me, I don't know you." Wow. Here we read the story of the parable of the ten bridesmaids. And what we would see traditionally take place is the bridegroom would go around to the bride's house. And this is where the actual ceremony would take place. Then what would happen after that is the bride and the groom would leave, and they would be followed by a great procession, followed by all their friends, their families, and the members of the community. It'd been a time of celebration as they moved on. They would have moved on to the groom's house, where the wedding banquet would have taken place. And this is where the real party would have started. Because they didn't just go for a day, they didn't go for, you know, a couple of days. These guys, back in that time, they would have gone for a whole week. That's some party. That's some celebrating. Listen, I'm in bed by 10 o'clock most evenings. But it was this procession that the bridesmaids wanted to join. But as we read, half of them missed out. They missed out because the oil in their lamps, which would have lit the way of the procession as they're walking along the street and they're having their pipe. These lamps would have been, you know, lighting along the way, and it would have been such a beautiful scene. But it was this that those bridesmaids, them five bridesmaids would have missed out on. At the moment when they needed it most, they had to run off and get some more oil. They've missed out on that moment that they've been waiting for so long. Could you imagine that? These bridesmaids, they would have, you know, been alongside their friend or family member for so long. You know, they would have been speaking about this moment, this day, you know, dreaming about it. And just, they would have been talking about how they would celebrate it together. And just at this moment, when they were realizing them dreams, these five bridesmaids, they missed out. How gutted must they have been? They missed out because they wasn't prepared. There's many reasons why they weren't prepared. I'll take you through a few that I've come to think of. Possibly they were lazy. They didn't want to leave the place where they were at. They didn't want to go out and get more oil. So they stayed where they was. Maybe it was because they were satisfied with the moment. They was enjoying themselves too much in that moment, and they wasn't thinking about the party and the celebration that was to come just moments around the corner. Maybe they got too comfortable. They was enjoying the party. They just wanted to sit down and stay where they was. They didn't want to move. And maybe they just didn't have their mindsets. They'd forgotten about the big celebration that was to come. Whatever the reason was, they missed out. And I believe that this message, this word that this evening, is a warning, and it's a prophetic call for us in this generation. And to be honest, I don't want anyone missing out on what the Lord is doing in this time. We are privileged to live at such a time as this, to have the things that we have in this time and generation, to see the things that we are seeing and going to see in this generation. Church, we are seeing and will see things that our ancestors and generations before us just prayed to see, such as what the Lord is doing in this time. And I'm excited by that. I don't know about you, maybe it's just me, but I'm excited by this. So in this parable, we see that Jesus is the groom. And he's coming back for his bride, which is the church. And in this story, we read ourselves as the bridesmaids. So which bridesmaid are you? Which category do you fall into? Which of the five bridesmaids do you find yourself in? Do you find yourselves in the category of being prepared? The five that were prepared? Or do you find yourself in the category of the five that were unprepared? Or let's take this a little step further. Do you find yourself in the category of the five wise bridesmaids? Or do you find yourself in the category of the five foolish bridesmaids? We are in a time when we cannot become lazy or comfortable. We need to be pressing in. We need to be stepping into the things of the Lord. And I find it's a privilege to be here the week as we're entering into, well, next weekend is Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So maybe I'm here to remind some today that we need to press into the things of the Spirit. If we want to see the Spirit move, then we have to participate. We have to partner with the Holy Spirit. So I ask you this evening, how prepared are you? How prepared are you for the great things that God has in store? And where is your oil coming from? And is your oil real? Or is your oil counterfeit? Because we go to many petrol stations when we're running a car, and some of these petrol stations, they water down the petrol. I know it's hard to believe, but they do. And if you keep running that car, that engine, on the oil that's being watered down, it damages your engine. You need to have the real petrol that's put in the car. And what I'm saying this evening, I'm asking the question, are you running yourselves, your own spiritual engine, on real oil? Or are you borrowing your oil from someone else, which is counterfeit oil? Are you in the Word, receiving revelation from God yourself? Because God wants to speak to every one of us personally. Are you spending time with Him? Are you spending time in prayer? Actually spending time listening to what the Spirit is saying? Are you spending time studying His Word? Or are you living off of someone else's revelation? Living on second-hand revelation? Just from Pastor Dean, receiving his revelation from the pulpit? And just, is that the only revelation that you're receiving? Or are you just listening to those on YouTube and receiving the revelation that these guys have received? Because they're all that's good, but you'll only get so far, and after a while you'll end up dry and it won't be enough. We have to spend time in the presence of the Lord that we may become fresh. And that's the next question. Is the oil that you're running on, is it fresh or is it stale? I believe that some here are still trying to run on the oil that you received last month. Maybe it's the oil that you received last year. Maybe it's the oil that you received from that evangelistic event 5 or 10 years ago. And you're still trying to sort of run through on that old revelation. Don't you know there's fresh oil ready to be poured out over you and into your heart? God wants you to meet with Him. Imagine trying to run your car on the same oil year after year. I think it would do a bit of damage, wouldn't it? And it's the same with us in our spiritual lives. And the way, this is why people run on counterfeit oil so often. It's because when oil is extracted, there's a great pressure that comes in order for oil to be released. And if we take it a moment and look at Jesus, in a moment of His greatest pressing, I believe that was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the moment of His greatest pressing. As Leonard Ravenhill says, it's the moment when the victory was won. In reality, because in this moment we see Jesus on His knees praying before the Father. We see Him in the garden, we see Him praying, we see Him pressing in, we see Him weeping, we see Him agonizing, we see Him wrestling, we see Him sweating so much. In fact, He was sweating so much and in so much distress that He was literally sweating blood. And I wonder for us, when was the last time that we pressed in prayer in this way? When was the last time we agonized over the lost? When was the last time we were literally standing in the gap and weeping for a family member or weeping for a friend in a pain that they are suffering or they are enduring? When was the last time? And I'm challenging myself more than any of us here. But when in this picture we see Jesus in this Garden of Gethsemane, we see him weeping, we see Him agonizing, we see Him wrestling and straining all the time. What were His disciples doing? That moment most needed support around him. As in when the disciples could have gone over to him and just said, look, we'll stand with you, we'll be with you through this. No, that's, you know, not that Jesus would have needed that, but he would have, it would have been nice for that comfort. To know that his disciples, those that he has been teaching, these of his friends, are standing with him as he's agonizing. But no, when he looked over, they were sleeping. Mark 14, verse 38. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh. Gethsemane literally means the oil press. So the Garden of Gethsemane was literally the place of pressing for Jesus. So I ask again, are we following the example of Jesus in this picture? Are we following the example of Jesus and allowing ourselves to be pressed so that the oil of the Spirit may flow through us? Or are we following the example of the disciples and allowing the weakness of the flesh to stop and to heal? As many of us here, I believe, I've certainly prayed this. We pray for the anointing. We pray for the anointing of God to rest upon us. We pray for the anointing of God to rest upon our church and to flow. But what are we doing for his anointing to be poured out? What are we doing for his anointing to be released? Are you sleeping or are you being pressed? Too many of us want cheap. We want the anointing, but we don't want to go through the pressing in order to receive that anointing. And how often we can look at someone, we can look at a preacher, we can look at a man or a woman of God, and we see the anointing of God upon their lives. And we can be provoked. We can get that holy jealousy where it stirs us up to want to go out and do the things that we have heard about. But then sometimes what can happen is that can tip over from holy jealousy into the fleshly jealousy where we just want what they have. And instead of stirring us up in order to push us out, we sit back and we become... The thing is this. We don't know the depths of brokenness they have seen in order to receive that. We don't know the level of pressing that they have endured in order for that oil to be released in their lives. Are we willing to go through the same? Because I do want to see the anointing of God over this church and running out into the community of Ashingdon. I want to see the anointing of God upon and flowing freely through the East Gateway Hub. In my personal journey, I've been wrestling, I've been sacrificing, I've been laying things down, contending, because I want all of us in here, in this place, to be a part of what God is doing. But the reality is this. Some just don't want to go through the pressing to see the things that God has in store for their lives. They want it now. But the Lord has to work things out in us as we go through that journey. Because us in our own strength and in our own way, or where we're at the moment, we cannot contain or handle that which God wants to release in our lives. So when we're wrestling, when we're contending, what God is actually doing is he's strengthening us so that we can carry that anointing which he wants to rest upon us. Amen? Yeah, we cannot live off of other people's oil. We have to create our own. So I encourage you this evening, and I praise God that so many have turned out this evening to this meeting, but I encourage you, come to the prayer meetings, come to all the events that the church has put on, because it's in these that we come closer together as brothers, as sisters. But also what happens is in these moments, in these events that are put on, that we come closer to Christ. We fellowship and we build one another up. The evangelistic meetings, if you have heard of any evangelistic meetings that are going on, make sure to get there. If God is directing you, get there. I've always been one of these people since I've been walking with the Lord, and I haven't really lost this, that when I hear that there's something going on that the Lord is doing, and I know that His Spirit is going to be moving, I have to be there. I don't want to miss out on what the Lord is doing. And in fact, as we said, the leadership thing last week, wasn't it? The Elam Leadership Summit. And do you know what I done the second night? I never do this. I went back to my hotel room and rested. And I heard on that second night, it was powerful. And I woke up the next morning and thought, Lord, the only time, the one time. Guys, don't let that be you. Don't miss out on what the Lord is doing. Make sure you get to where the Lord is moving. Because it's only us it's only us who miss it, and the ones that are missing out, right? And it's in these moments that we get refreshed. The truth is that we cannot wait until the last moment. We need to go and get ourselves ready now. Are our hearts prepared? We achieve this by working together, coming together, encouraging each other with the Lord by ourselves. You know what is? You know there are moments when the devil comes and you're just so overwhelmed by what is going on. And sometimes we can be like this, can we run to the, we can be under that attack for so long. And then we can begin, where can I find that help? Where can I find that help? And we're, you know, there's a verse for that. There's a verse for that somewhere, you know. And then we're just deeply struggled and we cannot find where God can help us in His Word. Because we're not prepared. We don't know where to go to. So I encourage you, let's be prepared and spend time in His Word, studying. So when that moment comes, when that attack comes, we can just exactly at that moment begin speaking the word over that situation and into the declaring it over ourselves and into the atmosphere and speaking that very specific moment. Yes, we will have to lay things down in order to get, but what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice in order to come closer to the Lord? Because in my observations, I've seen that there are too many Christians that have grown old, but have not grown up. I say that again, just so we really press that in. There are too many Christians that have grown old, but have not grown up. Where is the transformation taking? Because if someone who has been walking with Jesus for a certain amount of time are still the same in their behaviours, in their attitudes, in their lives, it's the same. The moment when they met Jesus, then 20 years ago, then 10 years, 5 years, however long ago it was, there's a problem there. Holiness, purity, is this our heart? Because holiness attracts the anointing of God. And the holiness, when we begin to have a heart of purity and begin to walk in that way and chase after holiness as we seek the presence of the Lord, it is this that allows, it attracts the anointing firstly, but what it does, it allows the anointing to rest upon us instead of just running off. Because if we're living a life that is impure and unholy, what happens is the anointing would just dissipate, run off. But holiness allows. And that's one thing that I've really, since I've been at East Ham, is the Lord's really been directing me in this. And I've been going into the church and just praying holiness. over the church and into every part of the building and over the people that come into that church. And we begin to, it's noticeable, the presence movement in the services. As it allows holiness, allows the anointing. But on our journey to this place, there may be wrestling in handing over them certain things. There may be wrestling in prayer. There may be wrestling in actually handing and laying that thing down. So who's done this, or is it just me that they say, Lord, I'm giving you this thing, I'm giving you this. Here you are, Lord. Here you are, Lord. I give it to you, I leave it with you, I lay it down before you. And then the next day we're going, actually, I want to take this back. How many of us, or is it just me? See, that's part of the wrestling. As long as we go back and we say, actually, Lord, I give this back to you. And this wrestling match takes place as we're beginning to deny ourselves of that thing that is hindering us from having that pure relationship with the Lord, or whatever it may be. That's the wrestling match. God doesn't mind the wrestling as long as in the end you surrender. Because in the wrestling you will be marked by God. You will be changed. You will be transformed. And I want this for me. I want this for you. I want this for this community of Ashington. And it's in that place of prayer where we are formed and transformed. It's in that place of prayer that we become pliable. It is a place of humility where we ask God to speak. When we come to this place of being humble before the Lord, we're saying, Lord, have your way. Jacob wrestled with God and was marked. God left him with a limp. But we have to remind ourselves that actually, in the wrestling, we are blessed. But in the wrestling, we are blessed. And actually, what God takes away from us, he blesses us so much more. Because he also, even though Jacob wrestled with God, he was marked. God in the end changed his name to Israel. And he was blessed, and a nation was named after him. If we look at Jesus, he wrestled with God in the garden. And on the cross, he was marked. He was marked on his hands, and he was marked on his feet as he was crucified. His blood was shed. His blood was poured out. But he was rewarded. He was resurrected back to life. And he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And the name of Jesus was exalted above every other name. Hallelujah. That is his reward. And not only that, his reward is you. His reward is us. Because if he, in that wrestling, if you didn't go through that wrestling, then we would not be able to enter into the presence of God. We would not be able to be restored back to that right relationship with God. So Jesus' reward for his wrestling and his suffering and his pain was us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he did not give up. But he looked past the cross, enduring the cross, despising its shame. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Let's go back to verse 11 and 13. I'm coming down to finish. Verses from verse 11. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. What a fearful thing. What a wake-up call. So which of the bridesmaids are you? Are you prepared or are you unprepared? Are you wise? This evening, as we come in a moment, let's take a moment just to search our hearts, that we are not fooling ourselves, that we are not just playing games or churchianity, but are we truly following Christ? Are we truly willing to count the cost in our life? Because the truth is this, that it cost Jesus everything in order that we may be. But he done that also. Yes, he done it out of love for each one of us. He loves each one of us deeply. But there's a greater reasoning for his sacrifice. It's so that his kingdom may come on this earth. And we have the privilege of partnering with the living God to see his kingdom come. So will you be found wanting in worship team, if you will? Will you be found wanting in that moment of need? Or in that moment when the groom returns for his bride, will you be found wanting? Will you be prepared and ready with your lamp shining bright and your robes unblemished, ready to join the procession? Will Jesus know you when you stand before him?